This is that time of year where I start breaking down the schedules, you know, game by game. I don't just like when I make predictions on the order of finish in the West and the East. I don't just like, okay, I think this team will be in this position and so forth and so on. I basically pick every game for all 14 teams. And I was doing that looking at Vanderbilt and Tennessee. And strangely enough, I've come up with both of these teams being 7-4 going into that final game in Knoxville.
Yeah, that's pretty positive compared to most predictions and prognostications I've seen, especially for Vanderbilt. A lot of the preseason polls and what have you have the Commodores going 5-7 and missing the postseason, and a lot of them have them big underdogs at Tennessee at the end of the year, which is a bit surprising given recent history. And the overall finish is a bit surprising given, you know, Vanderbilt is coming off bowl trips in two of the last 3 years. I know they're still going for that first winning season under Derek Mason, but you know, with the offensive firepower they have coming back, I think they may be being undersold a little bit. Now, obviously, that being said, they need to find a true quarterback and have their offensive line gel, but it's a schedule that I feel like there's a ton of games that really could go either way. I mean, Georgia, LSU, okay, you're thinking, you know, those are probably L's, but I mean, Kentucky, Missouri, Tennessee, Purdue, there's a lot of games on that slate where saying, yeah, I could see them winning that, but I could also say, you know, if they slip up, those are losable games as well.
Well, I mean, first of all, I see them starting off 1-2. I think they do lose to Georgia and LSU, the two home games in the first three games of the year. But with that said, I think they find a way to go on the road and beat Purdue. I think they have the kind of talent and ability. You would expect the team to still be relatively healthy at that point. But when you think about the weapons, just look at their representatives that will be representing Vanderbilt on Thursday for the Commodores at SEC Media Days. All three players on the offensive side of the ball, you've got a Kalijah Lipscomb who led the SEC last year with 87 catches. You have the tight end and Jared Pinkney. He led all tight ends in the SEC with most catches. You have Keyshawn Vaughn, over 1,200 rushing yards, led the SEC with 7.9 yards per carry. And whether we're talking about Riley Neal winning that job, which I think he will end up being the starting quarterback for Vanderbilt. So the biggest thing is for Vanderbilt, if they do lose, and if it's even if they're ugly losses to Georgia and LSU, that's where it needs to stop. They can't allow a loss like that to impact them the rest of the way. I remember when Vanderbilt lost to Alabama and Kyle Shurmur the next year at SEC Media Days told me that he really truly felt like a loss, the way they lost to Alabama, impacted them in future games, and especially that Georgia game that year. But you look at that stretch, starting with Northern Illinois, a winnable game, should be a check for a W, at Ole Miss. I think Vanderbilt right now is better than Ole Miss, so check for Vanderbilt against Ole Miss. UNLV, check another win. Missouri, you know, great, but I think that Drew Locke was that, you know, hidden gem last year for the Missouri Tigers, and I thought he brought that extra intangible, and one of the reasons why Missouri, why they were in so many games last year. But Vanderbilt gets Missouri here in Nashville. I think Vanderbilt wins that game. And then finally, at South Carolina, you know, I thought this last year was going to be the year for the Gamecocks after what they did in 2017. It wasn't. It was a team that underperformed, underachieved. Yes, Jake Bentley is back at quarterback for the Gamecocks. But going into the month of November, you know, that's to me is a winnable game. So you get to that stretch, worst case scenario, 4-1. So you're looking at 5-3, right? You're going to get a win against East Tennessee State on November 23rd. So that's your sixth win there. And whether it's at Florida or the home game on November 16th against Kentucky, which I think that will be the win. So that's how I come up with 7-4. So it's not like I'm like just being Mr. The glasses is almost totally full kind of thing and just bleeding black and gold. Realistically, breaking it down that way, it makes sense to me.
And, you know, I could take it a step further. I really feel like, you know, this team could be on the cusp, would be a 9-3, and they could very easily, you know, fall back down to 3-9 just because of that schedule and some of the games that may shape up to be tougher than expected. You know, let's talk about Purdue a little bit. You know, we should all be familiar with Jeff Brohm and what he did at Western Kentucky. You know, they beat Ohio State last year, but then they go to a bowl game and they get killed by Auburn. So, you know, which Purdue team are you going to get? You know, are they going to come out firing putting up 60 points, or will they be able to handle Vanderbilt's SEC defense? You look at Northern Illinois in week four, he talked about the gamut that the Commodores have to run in that first 3 weeks. I mean, that's your prototypical, stereotypical trap game, right? I mean, Northern Illinois, a very good MAC team, won 8 games last year, perennially a top team in the MAC conference. They will come in as an underdog, you know, with nothing to lose, playing really loose. That's a game, you know, they got to be incredibly careful of and watch out for. So you take those two games, you know, let's say they win those. Kentucky, like you said, a winnable game. Missouri, what's their motivation this year? So you would think that Vanderbilt is in a prime position to knock them off after having beaten the Tigers last year before giving up 20 second-half points. Ole Miss will be out for revenge, but I think, you know, that's a level playing field game for Vanderbilt. You know, they absolutely could go into Oxford and win. So you can make a case for a lot of these games saying, you know, Vanderbilt definitely has a chance to win. There's a lot of X factors that go into it. Obviously, injuries will play something to do with the end result, but it's going to be an incredibly interesting slate for Vanderbilt, the way that you kind of break it down into maybe fourths or thirds, because, you know, they have a chance to go out there with all the players you mentioned and really make some noise, but they also have a chance to slip up if they're not on their toes every single Saturday.
And you notice when I went down that list, Chad, and by the way, visit with Chad Bishop with Vandy247.com, you know, I just went down the list of games that are winnable games. I didn't go down a list like last year, although Vanderbilt didn't pull it off, but you look at the game at Notre Dame, had their chances to win that game against the Fighting Irish, had their chances to win against Kentucky in Kentucky on October 20, a Kentucky team that, I mean, how many players they send to the pros last year? Was it 5 off of that team got drafted? And here's Vanderbilt only losing by 7 in that one. A very close loss on the road to Missouri by 5, another exam. And even the Florida game was only a 10-point game. My point is, when I go down that schedule, I'm not even bringing up the possibilities of it being Vanderbilt's day and they're upsetting somebody. If you want to throw in the upset, that's where I see where you're talking about getting a 9th win, for example, if you're talking about getting a win, say, in a bowl game.
Yeah, we're totally writing off, right, the LSU and the Georgia games. I mean, but, you know, I mean, LSU obviously not known for offensive production. What if that turns out to be a defensive struggle and someone kicks a field goal late?
Right.
A lot of folks aren't giving Vanderbilt a chance to win at South Carolina. I mean, they've only beaten the Gamecocks 4 times. But, you know, who knows? Maybe South Carolina isn't as good as expected this year, and they go down there and get that win. So, yeah, there's just, you know, the way I look at this Vanderbilt team this year, I feel like they are on the cusp of breaking out, of getting that winning season, getting that bowl win under Derek Mason. I mean, they definitely have the roster and the depth and the talent to do it. So, yeah, we're kind of checking off the East Tennessee States, the UNLVs, the Northern Illinois. What if they're way better than all of us think? And they come out week one and play Georgia tight. They come out week three, play LSU tight, got those games at home. It's very possible. You know, that's why they play the games, right? And that's why we love college football. So, you know, I can't wait to see how they handle those games, because they'll be underdogs like they usually are against those opponents. But it wasn't too long ago that Vanderbilt beat Georgia already, so they know they can do it. They have it in that locker room that has the scoreboard that they can go out and get it done.
Chad, I saw this stat in Athlon Sports as they previewed the Vanderbilt upcoming season, and to me, this is certainly one that I got circled. If you want to see improvement on defense, this has to change, because looking at the difference of 2017 to last year, in 2017, you know, the biggest and most important thing besides keeping the opposing team from accumulating points is forcing third and long, for example. In 2017, the Vanderbilt defense ranked 22nd in all of college football, 22nd where opposing teams on third down were facing third and an average of 7.6 yards to convert, right? So when you're talking about that kind of yardage, it's your chances are pretty strong being able to get the team off the field. I bring it up because last year the squad ranked 124th in the country, where we're talking about almost in fact, it was over a yard difference, closer for the opposing teams having to convert, where it was third and on an average of 6.4 yards. So to me, it needs to be closer to that 2017 number than what it was last season.
Yeah, Jason Tarver would agree with you 100%. I listened to an interview he gave recently, and he brought up that point that defense needs to have a third and nine, a third and 10, a third and 12 instead of the third and three, third and four. I mean, it's crucial, and it's going to be key for a defense that, you know, while it has maybe a lot more depth, maybe not as much experience, even though a lot of those guys that are young have played quite a bit. And that's why they brought in, you know, graduate transfer Cameron Watkins from Illinois, Eddie Zen Turner from Marist, Dante Carrier-Williams came from the junior college route, but he played a lot of games at Wisconsin. So they brought in some kind of experienced veterans, although they're new to the program, who have played a lot of college football to try to help improve those numbers because, you know, that defense last year certainly not up to Derek Mason's standards and not up to Jason Tarver's standards. And you could tell in spring ball when talking to those guys, they're ready to come back and make a lot of improvement. You know, Malik Langham is another guy I'll throw it out there, the transfer from Florida this summer. A good chance he gets a waiver to be eligible, and that would help that defense, especially rushing the passer and getting off field on third down. So it's huge. Everybody, you know, talks about this Vanderbilt offense and the weapons they have. Not a lot of folks are talking about the Vanderbilt defense, and they need a bounce back year. I mean, you know, Derek Mason, his calling card is defense and defensive play, and those guys need to have a bounce back year to kind of help this offense continue to make plays and continue to score points.